Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Janice and myself, Tess. Janice.
And we're here with Bronwyn Pike, who's the CEO of Uniting Tasmania and Victoria, or Victoria and Tasmania. I probably got that around the wrong way, Bronwyn. Bronwyn's also a former Vic MP and a senior minister. Welcome, Bronwyn.
Hi, Janet.
I've got a message from Mark Adams here. He goes, John's a great version of a lib, but Bronny's a freaking legend.
Well, that's very kind.
So it's fabulous to have you here to talk to us today. We've just been talking actually about some of the machinations of the ALP this last week. I'm wondering if you had any comments you'd like to make.
Well, sure. You know, I mean, I think the main thing that keeps coming back all the time is what an absolute affront to democracy this kind of behaviour is. And, you know, people over the centuries have actually given their lives for the right to participate in decisions about their lives. And so for people to be so blasé, for people to distort the democratic processes and make it almost impossible for people to participate in parliament, in government, you know, is really disgraceful. And for me, there's always a sense of relief when a bright light is shown on this kind of behaviour, and those who perpetuate it are weeded out of all political parties.
Bronwyn, we've just had a question from one of our listeners, and I know you tackled this very topic with Virginia Trioli just earlier this week. I didn't hear the interview, but I heard Virginia talking about it, of course. We've been asked to ask you why any woman would be interested in joining any political party now. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I in fact do have a lot of young women who come to me and say, I would like to get into politics. And I always say a couple of things. First of all, good luck. Buy a lottery ticket. You've probably got more chance of winning it. And that goes to the heart of the challenges there are for people who don't belong to the club, whether it be Liberal or Labor, to actually fight their way through. But the second thing I say to people is you're asking the wrong question. The right question is, you know, what do I really believe in? What am I passionate about? What is it that I want to change in the world? And is politics the pathway for me to do that thing, you know, to bring about some really positive change in my society because I want the community to be a better place? And, you know, politics is not, you know, just like a job. It's got to be a means to an end. It's got to be a mechanism to improve things. So, you know, you've got too many people who are now seeing as just a job, an income, a bit of cash, a secure paycheck, and not people who are wanting to make really positive changes in the world.
Or a pathway to power, perhaps, which may be
what
we saw.
Well, a pathway. Well, I'm not absolutely convinced. You see, power. I mean, yes, there is power because I can sort of, you know, get people to think that I'm wonderful, and you know, I can get more power, and I can get more money, and I can, you know, get more things. But you know, I don't even think it's power or influence. A lot of these people you know, are interested in. I just think it's, you know, people, some of which who would probably never get a job in any other profession, quite frankly, seeing that, you know, this is a way for them to, you know, continue to work. And the question about women and why would they do it? I mean, I think there's something so profoundly adversarial about the political system that you've got to have a really strong stomach. You've got to really believe in things. You've got to really believe in the cause that you are passionate about, whether it's the environment, whether it's gender issues, whether it's human rights, social justice, whether it's, you know, the promoting of the regions and the rural community, whatever it is. You've got to believe it. Because you need a very strong stomach for all the other stuff.
Bronwyn, just as coincidentally, we had the Minister for Women on this very show last Saturday, Minister Gabrielle Williams, who was talking about a new position that's been created in government, which is the Commissioner for Gender Equality. And so we had a great conversation about that and what that means. And in a sense, you know, the government's record has been pretty strong in trying to promote equality, create policies which are inclusive and are balanced, and they have driven towards, targets around, gender in a whole range of government positions and boards and public service and et cetera, et cetera. Yep. So they've done a lot of work at that. And then on the other hand, you know, here we are last Sunday night watching, you know, 60 Minutes at 9:35 p.m. And what we have is this very overt misogyny that's expressed. So my question to you is misogyny still alive and well in Spring Street?
Well, it's alive and well in the community. And that's why we need all these initiatives. That's why the government is, creating these positions, forging ahead with its work on family violence, continuing to drive for adequate representation, but more, you know, funding behaviour change programs, continuing to develop all of these initiatives because we need it for our broader community. But I think people are pretty gobsmacked when they see the level of hypocrisy for some people who, of course, sign up to all of that and push the bills through when they're in Parliament, but in their personal behaviour and, go right to the contrary. And I think someone said something to me this week that I thought was really profound, and that is look for people in government whose personal behaviour and public articulations are most closely aligned.
Uh-huh.
And they're the people that you want to vote for. People who have personal integrity and people who then carry that through into a strong desire for the reform of public policy. It's hard, but
yes,
it's worth striving for.
Obviously, a lot of us vote for the party that we think will be delivering the policies that we, think are going to work best for our, within our belief systems. But so is part of the responsibility also about the party system selecting and pre-selecting, but also people standing with that integrity? So, in some ways we get what we ask for or what we're prepared to put up with, and not enough really good people stand. Do you think that's the case?
I do think that it's very easy for the community to stand back and say they're all rotten, they're all bastards, they all select their own, and we're powerless. And there's a lot of evidence that people call upon for that position. But you're absolutely right, Janet. You know, unless good people actually put their hands up and say, look, I think I've got something to offer here, and, have the kind of self-belief that it's worth it, then we're just going to be stuck with what we've got. And that's why I think it's really great. I mean, what Steve Bratton and John Thwaites, Rob Hulls, John Brumby, that team, was so desperate to beat Jeff Kennett in 1999 that they said, we've got to bring some people into our party from the outside who've already got some standing in the community and are known for doing good things. And, you know, that's what they did. They went out and found those people to lift the profile of the party, to lift the reputation of the party. And if people who got strong careers in good fields don't put their hands up, we are left with the dross and the dregs. And so there is responsibility all round for this.
And obviously, yeah, as you say, bringing in people, I guess a big message for our communities is we need more people to stand, because we actually have seen in the LGBTIQ space where we have out and proud candidates, they can influence government and policy.
Absolutely. And that's happened on all sides, actually. And so it's a really good thing. And let's hope that more people feel confident to do it.
So hopefully, Bronwyn, you'll get some calls from bright young women and men and trans people seeking you out for advice on how to get elected.
Well, I hope so. I hope people don't give up. I hope this is not so disheartening for people. And it is encouraging that the Premier has, you know, acted pretty decisively and has, in a sense, is now risking a backlash from some branch members, from the unions and others. But if he can be known for rooting this kind of behaviour out of the Labor Party, then he'll leave a very, very strong legacy.
What's your assessment of the Premier's performance, Bronwyn?
Look, I think that...
In relation to handling this very issue in the last week.
Look, I think generally the Premier has shown himself to be a pretty tough minded person who is not afraid to make sometimes unpopular decisions. And I think he, of course, was, you know, had really no choice but to act very, very firmly and very, very swiftly. But, you know, it's a big call to lose three ministers. You know, it's hard for some of that not to stick. But I think that the fact that he forced that to happen is a good thing, and I think it actually does enhance his standing. Because if he had dilly-dallied around and said, oh, you know, I've just told them off and, you know, it's not very nice and all of that sort of stuff. I mean, the fact that Adam Somurek, of course, had been brought back in made it even more, I think, appropriate and gave him an even stronger great imperative to knock him off this time and knock him off for good.
Yes, yes. Well, we'll see where all that lands, of course. What do you predict will happen next, Bronwyn? I know this is a bit of a crystal ball gazing question, but what do you think will happen next?
I think we're in some tough times with the investigation.
Yep.
And I think that the group that Adam Somurek and the other two ministers were part of is broader than them. And I would imagine there will be some nervous people. But I also think that the filming and exposing of texts and phone conversations will put a lot of fear into the heart of many people in politics on all sides. You know, a lot of kind of behaviour that they thought that they were was not being observed is being observed. Let's hope that we don't see a demise in trust. Let's hope that this newfound transparency brings about a rush of noble behaviour.
It may help. It may help to shift behaviour so that it's, you know, the personal and the private lives are much, sorry, the personal and the public lives are much more aligned, as you talked about earlier on.
Yeah, I hope so. And I also hope that, I mean, politics is, you know, obviously a feisty game because the stakes are very high and people want to be in a position of influence, and that's absolutely understandable. And there are a lot of internal jealousies that come, you know, when people are competing for a few positions. few positions that are available. So, you know, some of this is normal human behaviour that happens everywhere else as well. But, you know, it's in the service of the public good, so people are held to a higher standard.
Good on you, Bronwyn. You are listening to Saturday Magazine with Janet and Tass. We've had an extraordinary conversation, I think, so far, Janice. Great chat with John Pizzuto and Bronwyn Pike.
We're going to shift the conversation a little bit now and talk about the Religious Discrimination Bill, Draft Exposure Bill, a second version that's before the Commonwealth Parliament. I know that you're the CEO of one of our largest health and human service organisations at Uniting in Tasmania and Victoria. So what impact, first of all, from your in your role as the CEO, do you think that bill will have for you, and how's Uniting dealing with some of the conversations around it?
Well, there's two things really. There's what the bill would allow in terms of the right to discriminate in terms of employment, and then the other, I guess, related issue is what this kind of legislation communicates to people who are recipients of our services, who are members of the LGBTIQ community. So we certainly don't want to or believe we should in any way discriminate against anyone for their beliefs or their personal lifestyle choices or for whatever reason in terms of employing them in our organisation. There's just no justification for saying harmful things. There's no justification for expressing opinions that are hurtful and unjust. The consequences for people who are in the broader community and some who receive our services are equally as devastating. Any form of discrimination, you know, has often some really disastrous consequences, and your community would know more than any that people who feel discriminated against and left out within the community can suffer all kinds of poor mental health and other really negative impacts. So we don't want any part of it, and we think it's wrong, and we think they should dump it.
So, Bronwyn, that's clearly at from a leadership point of view and a management point of view. How do people, you know, on the workforce, on the ground, on the front line, feel about this conversation?
Look, we have a lot of support for people from our staff in the organisation because they are reflective of the broader community, and so whether they come from the rainbow community themselves or, you know, have family members or just are people of goodwill who of course, don't believe in discrimination and are supportive of human rights. You know, they are very proud that an organisation like Uniting, which is a church-based organisation, is on their side on this issue and not joining with certain elements of religious communities who are promulgating, outright discrimination.
Mm. Now, I understand that next week you're participating in a panel conversation on this very topic, and I believe that Janet's actually got something to do with this as well.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I've been asked to participate on the panel, and it's going to be a great conversation, I think. Janet, maybe you could advertise it.
Yes, well, it's being run by Thorn Harbour Health, and I'm actually chairing the
You're
panel.
You're the moderator, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm moderating the panel, apparently.
You are, Janet.
And I believe that there's a fabulous lineup of which you're one, Bronwyn, obviously, as a service provider.
I'm glad you said fabulous.
Fabulous. I think that's going to be a bit of an overview initially by Equality Australia to talk about the bill and the impact. And I think you're right, Bronwyn, around the two aspects of it. So one is for employers and also in employment. So the bill, the second version of the bill actually expanded the scope of the potential legislation enormously by bringing in all public benevolent institutions, and that's hospitals and charitable organisations such as yours and the one that I run as well, which is an Anglican agency, the old Anglican Marriage Guidance Council. And that means that our employees, for example, could express their religious belief to a client. For example, they might say to a single mum or a mum with a child with a disability, they might say, well, the reason your child is disabled is because of your sin in being a single mother, for example. And as an employer,
that's exactly right.
As an employer, we'd have a lot of difficulty, I think, being able to enforce our values as an organisation, which is not to discriminate. So that's one of the very big concerns.
Well, let me be provocative. Do people really say that sort of stuff these days?
Oh, I think they do. Yeah. I think they might not say it directly, but they, I mean, that's a pretty extreme case, but they certainly might imply that certain behaviours, and, you know, I mean, we know enough about some very conservative religious groups that they, the ones who actually voted against the marriage equality bill, that, you know, there is a belief that homosexuality is wrong. You know, the capacity to actually say that for us is, you know, really, really concerning, because our role is to never to do anything that's hurtful or has any harmful impact on people. Our role is to heal people's wounds, not to create them.
Yes.
And I would say also we...
But there are groups. And look, I observed a press club debate. Fiona Patton was against the bill. And Lyle, I've forgotten his surname, from the Australian Christian Lobby, made it very, very clear that there were views that he wanted the opportunity to express, and they could be, I think, very hurtful to people.
Bronwyn, we're almost out of time. It sounds like you're on the road somewhere. You going somewhere nice? You off to the market or something to do a bit of shopping?
Yes. Well, actually, believe it or not, we're in a place called Badgers Creek.
Called what? Called what?
Badgers Creek.
Never heard of it.
No, neither had I. We're out past Healesville. Our son's buying a pair of second-hand skis to go skiing, and he's kindly asked us to drive the 63 kilometres to pick them up for him. So what a nice... Because he lives in Sydney.
Oh, there
so
you go.
You know what?
He's found a bargain stopped. Which takes up all of your time.
You got it.
Typical,
isn't it?
But,
you know, it's actually beautiful out here. It's a lovely day, and... it's a good chance to get out of the city.
Well, while you're out that way, maybe you should pop into a winery and grab something to eat and a glass of red wine. Or there's also that lovely gin distillery out there in Healesville, which I always like going to.
I reckon
that all sounds very tempting.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you for your time
this morning.
Thank you for having a conversation with us. It's always much appreciated. Again, we've had some fantastic feedback and some very strong support for some of the comments that you've made this morning, Bronwyn.
And look forward to seeing you on Tuesday with the Thorn Harbour Health Forum. If anyone wants to participate in that, then they can register online through the Thorn Harbour Health website.
And it's an online forum, actually, isn't it? It's a virtual forum.
So the more the merrier. We'll look forward to the conversation. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bronwyn.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.